start.
Good day, good people. I'm Brother Robert Farrell, and welcome to Contemplative Inner Being's Wisdom Wednesday. And Wisdom Wednesday is recorded live on Crowdcast, so we invite all of our podcast and YouTube listeners to join us live each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Central here on Crowdcast. And that way you can become part of the dialogue after our sharing. So whether you are here for the live session or you are enjoying the recording, thank you so much for being here. Well, what is wisdom? Well, first let's start with wisdom is not. It's not knowing more. It's not the accumulation of information. Wisdom is knowing with more of you. It's knowing deeper. And Wisdom Wednesday is an invitation to open to those depths of yourself, your intellect, your will, your emotion, your senses, your images. Yes, open to the ground of wisdom, which is the transformation of our heart and our consciousness. Today, we're going to encounter three brief wisdom musings, and each one will be followed by a period of silence where you are invited to the spiritual practice of resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. Those are our practice watchwords. Resonate. Does something connect with you? And it might be symbolized by a single word or a phrase that you hear. Reflect, to meditate with images and thoughts. To respond. You can respond by journaling or prayer or even body movement of some kind. Or rest, simply to be silent and open to the presence and action of divine love in your life. And then after that, we're going to close with a group dialogue. And so everyone is willing to, or invited to come be part of Crowdcast where you can enter into that dialogue. Now, with an open heart and with the ears of our heart, a calm, centered presence and a gentle breath, let us receive these wisdom musings. Until and unless there is a person, situation, event, idea, conflict, or relationship that we cannot manage, we will never find the true manager. So, life makes sure that several things will come our way that we can't manage on our own. It is self-made people and all heroic spiritualities that will try to manufacture or an even stronger self by willpower and determination so they can put themselves back in charge and seemingly in control. And usually most people admire this, not realizing the unbending, sometimes proud, and eventually rigid personality that will be the long-term result. It is the imperial ego that has to go, and only powerlessness can do the job correctly. Otherwise, we try to engineer our own transformation by our own rules and with our own power, which is therefore, by definition, not transformation. It seems we can in no way engineer or steer our own conversion. And if we try to change our ego with the help of our ego, we only have a better disguised ego. And no problem can be solved from the same level of consciousness that created it. And our heart might say, Holy One, may we again and again be awed by your presence, that even when we feel like we've hit rock bottom, May we recognize we have fallen into your arms, because there is no place so deep or so dark or so scary that your presence cannot reach. The only way we stay on life's path with any authenticity is to constantly experience our incapacity to do it, our failure at doing it. Speaking about growth and achievement, climbing, improving, and progress highly appeals to the ego. Our problems and shortcomings are overcome not through willpower or by control, but much more by recognizing that we are powerless to overcome them. We recognize, I don't know how to love at all. And that is what keeps us on the path of love. Constant failure at loving is ironically and paradoxically what keeps us learning how to love. It doesn't give us the satisfaction that our egos want. It is a constant experience of littleness. And we must bear in peace the trial of not being pleasing to ourselves. It reveals a certain self-satisfaction, a certain smugness. We think we are good and holy. I go to church. I read the Bible. I say please, thank you, and yes, ma'am. That self-satisfaction and smugness is why we still have racism, sexism, homophobia, and classism at the highest levels. And sadly, religion too often shows itself to be well-disguised narcissism. Powerlessness is the beginning of the spiritual journey. And in the silence, we might just experience a bit of our own powerlessness. So let's go there now and resonate, reflect, respond, rest. The very idea that we are powerless over people, places, and things is an alien concept to many of us. We are powerless to control anyone and anything except ourselves, and there are even things about ourselves we cannot control. All of us are powerless to make anyone be, feel, or do exactly what we want. We have very limited control over what happens in the world at large. Admitting we are powerless over people, places, and things, and that our lives have become unmanageable, can be one of the most difficult yet one of the most freeing admissions of our lives. Admitting powerlessness is only admitting defeat in relation to our way of doing things. what happens on the other side of our admission of defeat. We begin to accept people and situations as they are. God is in control. We don't allow the situation to determine our thoughts, actions, and feelings. We discover we have more emotional energy. The emotional component is getting in touch with our powerlessness. The behavioral response is letting go of control. And we allow other people to be responsible for their lives. We are letting go and going with the flow. Yeah, admitting our powerlessness frees us to allow the one who is power to become active in our lives. What is this admitting? Well, the first step is admitting. If you admit, you are admitted. If you don't admit, you're not admitted. And if you admit, you live. And if you don't admit, you might die. Admitting is extremely painful. And it can be the very thing that saves our lives. Admitting is this transformative point of entry that leads us ever deeper into what we are exploring. True, hitting bottom is very painful, and it is very painful to admit that our lives have become unmanageable because we all need a sense of self-efficacy. The admitting then brings us to a place in which, if this is up to me, it's not looking so good. If this is up to me, I think it's despair. And the very fact that I have risked despair opens up a whole new possibility, because maybe it's not up to me. That was Lily not admitting that she's powerless. And maybe there is another way. Come to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. This is really what admitting can do for us. Admitting is poverty of spirit. Admitting is experiential humility. Thus, the act of admitting then opens up this paradoxical faith. The person on this healing journey in relationship to their higher power comes to say to God, "You know, I don't know who you are, but I do know who you are. You're the one who liberated my life." And in the silence, we can resonate, reflect, respond, and rest, and maybe admit. Friends, prayer begins with stopping in our tracks or with our backs against the wall or when we are going under the waves or when we are just so sick and tired of being physically sick and tired that we surrender. Or at least we finally stop running away and at long last walk or lurch or crawl towards something. Prayer is talking to someone or anything with which we seek union, even if we are bitter or insane or broken. And prayer is taking a chance that against all odds and our past history, we are loved and chosen and do not have to get it together before we show up. And when you are telling the truth, you are close to God. If you say to God, "I am exhausted and depressed beyond words, and I don't like you at all right now, and I recoil from most people who believe in you," that might be the most honest thing you've ever said. If you said to God, "It is all hopeless, and I don't have a clue if you exist, but I could use a hand," it would almost bring tears to our eyes. Tears of pride for the courage it takes to get real, really real. So prayer is our sometimes real selves trying to communicate with the real, with truth, with the light. And in the midst of the road to nowhere, we begin to sense that God is inviting us to give up trying to overcome our fear and instead bring our feelings of fear and shame to God. The felt need to pray in this way leads us to imagine, as if in a kind of waking dream, that we are alone on a midnight, a moonlight night. I'll try that again. That we are alone on a moonlit night in the garden where Jesus would go to spend whole nights alone in prayer. Then suddenly, looking this way and that, we see Jesus sitting alone in the moonlight at the edge of a clearing. We can feel his hand on our shoulder. As we lean in close to whisper in his ear, revealing the burdens of our shame-based weakness and fear. And having poured out all that our wounded and hurting heart is moved and able to say, Jesus draws in close and whispers in our ear three words that set us free. I love you. Dazed and amazed in being so unexplainably loved, we lean in close and whisper our secret I love you to Jesus. In that instant, there is the realization between us that the matter was settled once and for all. Our ability to be true to who we know in our heart God is calling us to be. For the sole measure of God's love is for us is the measureless expanse of God's merciful love, permeating us and taking us to itself in the midst of our faltering and wayward ways. So may each of us learn that in our perils arise more unforeseeable blessings. So let us go into the silence, into that moonlit night, and resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. Well, friends, thank you so much for your open heart reception of those musings. This is the time in our evening where I'd just like to share with you a spiritual practice, and maybe it's something that will engage or be practiced in your life in the coming week. This practice comes from Valerie Mason John and Groves in their book, 8-Step Recovery. It's called Awareness, Gathering, and Expanding, A-G-E. So as you can guess, there's 3 steps. And this contemplative practice helps us encounter divine reality in our powerlessness. This is one that I can only just briefly describe for you, and then you will have to take time later to really engage in the practice in a lengthy, 20, 40 minutes, maybe an hour long as you need. So first is awareness, and we bring awareness to whatever is happening right now. We assume a gentle, upright posture, and we just become aware of our thoughts to start with. What are you thinking right now? And really just allow your thoughts to be there without pushing them away. And then you can ask yourself, what are you feeling right now? You don't have to push those away either. Just let your feelings be there. You don't have to engage them. Just let them be there. Be present to them. You might even say hello. Just acknowledge them as they are, even if they are difficult. So we've become aware of thoughts and feelings, and now become aware of sensations in your body, especially any strong physical sensations, pain or tension or tightness or tingling. And as best you can, just allow them to be there and bring an attitude of friendly curiosity toward them. Don't try to make them go away, or don't even try to explain them or medically diagnose them. Then step 2 is gathering. Now gather your attention on the breath. Just becoming aware of the breath coming in and going out of your nostrils. Become aware of the movement of your chest and belly as you breathe. And spend some time there. Just focus on the physical sensation of the breath. And then, step three, after awareness and gathering, is expanding. Now expand your awareness to include the whole body. As best you can, feel the physical sensations in the whole of your body. And if you notice any areas, you can direct your attention there for a while. You can imagine directing your breathing into those areas. Breathing in and exploring the sensations with the breath. And then you might bring your practice together with a bow or maybe the sound of a bell. Just to acknowledge and honor the practice. And I hope that you give that a try a few times in the coming week and see how it might be of help to you. And this is now the time in our evening where we say goodnight to our podcast and YouTube listeners. And we do that by reminding everyone that love is the way. Reminding everyone that you are love. So stay awesome. Be love, and we hope to see you again soon. Thank you.